I want to start a little differently this morning. I want to do something interactive. I'm going to give you a movie line, and I want you to shout out together who said it. Who said, "Life is like a box of chocolates"? Forrest Gump. Who said, "Luke, I am your father"? Darth Vader. Who said, "I'm going to make him an offer he cannot refuse"? Don Corleone, or Vito Corleone from The Godfather. Isn't it amazing? There are lines we've heard so many times, year after year, that we don't just know the words, we know the voice. You can tell if I'm not doing it quite right. You know who is speaking. In your life, are there voices like that? Voices where even if you can't see the person's face, even if you hear them from the next room, the moment you hear them, you know exactly who is speaking because you recognize that voice. Here's the real question I want us to think about this morning. Is God's voice one of those voices that you immediately recognize? There's a wild cat. It's about the size of a big standard house cat in the Amazon forest. It's called the Margay. For centuries, people told a story about this cat. They said the predatory Margay could mimic the cry of a baby tamarin monkey and lure mother monkeys to come out of the trees and to go straight to their death. For decades, researchers heard this story and smiled politely. You probably know the sort of smile that says, "That's a nice story," but it's the kind of story that people tell around campfires to scare children. That's what they said until the summer of 2005. A team of researchers were watching eight little tamarin monkeys feeding in a tree, and hidden down below in the vines, a Margay cat began to cry. But it wasn't crying in its own voice. It was crying in the voice of a baby tamarin monkey. And one monkey heard the voice below and climbed down step by step and moved towards the sound of what it believed was something small and in need and vulnerable. And instead, it walked directly to the thing that wanted to kill it. You see, the cat below had learned to sound like the one the monkey loved. The lead scientist later wrote, and I'll quote this, he wrote, "This vocal manipulation indicates a psychological cunning which merits further study," which is a polite way of saying, those stories they told around the campfires, they were true. There is a predator in the forest that has learned to sound just like something good. In the gospel passage we heard a few minutes ago, Jesus said, "The shepherd calls his sheep by name, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The sheep will not follow a stranger because they do not know the voice of a stranger." But notice what Jesus did not say. He didn't say the voice of a stranger would sound like a stranger. He never said the thief would sound dangerous. Because the real danger is not that the predators in our lives have a voice that is too loud or too obvious. The danger is that the wrong voice can sound like the right voice. And if we're honest, I think all of us know this to some extent. Aren't there voices in your life, and there are certainly voices in mine, that don't sound dangerous? In fact, at first they sound reasonable or responsible or even faithful, but in reality they can be calling us out of the safety of the tree and down towards destruction below. The thief Jesus describes and the Margate cat in the rainforest, they use the same strategy. They've learned to sound like something good, maybe even something holy. Sometimes this voice, the voice of the thief, sounds like responsibility. It wakes you up at 5 in the morning and says, just work one more hour, just send one more email, just finish one more thing, accomplish one more task, and then you can rest. That doesn't sound wrong on the face of it. It sounds like being responsible, being disciplined, maybe even providing for those you love. And so you may listen to this voice. Then somewhere along the way, you realize that it's taken away time you can't get back. The dance recital, the little league competition, the vacation with someone you love where you spent the whole time doing emails. And you discover that this voice that sounded like virtue was actually stealing your life. Or sometimes this voice disguises itself and it sounds like humility. It says, you aren't really enough. You've never been enough. If people knew the real you, they'd all leave. Now that voice is tricky because we can convince ourselves it's just honest introspection. It's taking a good, long, hard look at yourself. It's acknowledging your own shortcomings. And so we can begin to believe that voice. You think that voice is telling you the truth. You must be at least a little disappointing to God, to others. God's grace sounds wonderful, but that can't be for people like me. And all the while, what feels like humility is actually us cutting ourselves off from the love of God. Sometimes this little voice calls out to us through those little devices we carry in our pockets or in our purses. This voice says, stay connected, stay informed, pay attention. So you scroll and you scroll and you scroll and you scroll and you scroll. And something begins to grow inside you, not love or joy or peace, but the more you read, comparison and outrage and anxiety and fear and anger and frustration. And you tell yourself, I'm just staying engaged. I'm staying up to date. I'm staying informed. But really, this little device is hardening your heart, and the joy and the purpose that you're seeking are being strangled by it. You see how this pattern works again and again? The thief never comes and knocks on your front door and says, come, be destroyed. Come, I'm here to take away your life. The thief instead says, come be responsible. Come be humble. Come be aware of what's going on in the world. It sounds like an invitation to become the very best version of yourself. Because, of course, it is important to be responsible and to be humble and to be informed and to be connected and to be aware of what's going on in the world. But in a world where there are countless voices calling out to us every day, the question is whether we know which voice we are listening to. Because the thief is not the only voice calling out to us. There is another voice, a truer voice. Jesus calls his sheep by name, not by number, not by category, not by the projects that need to be fixed. Jesus calls each of us by name, and his voice is different. The thief says, do more, keep achieving. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. The thief says, you are not enough. Jesus says, you are my beloved, marked as Christ's own forever. The thief tries to isolate you. You don't need anyone else. But Jesus draws people together, in community around a table, saying, I am with you always. So how do we know which voice we're listening to? How do we discern which voice is the true voice? Who is the shepherd and who is the thief? You may expect a long, detailed, complicated answer, but the early church gave us a simple answer, and yet a very profound answer. In the book of Acts that we read this morning, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers, and they sold their possessions and gave to anyone who had need. That's it. That's the whole thing. Teach and learn, fellowship, being together, bread, sharing meals, sharing communion, prayer in worship, also prayer at home, and then profound generosity, reaching out to those in need. That's it. That's the prescription. But how did these first Christians that we read about in the book of Acts, how did they come up with these practices to practice recognizing the voice of Christ and following him? Well, they learned these practices from the original 12, the disciples who spent day after day learning from Jesus. For 3 years, these disciples went from village to village. They were sleeping in strangers' houses and eating whatever food was placed in front of them, watching Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead and forgive and teach and weep and laugh and pray. Some days I'm sure were exhilarating, but I imagine quite a few were also pretty boring. There were days when I'm sure they were exhausted, and there were days when they got on each other's nerves. After all, can you imagine traveling around with 11 other grown adults for 3 years, not knowing where you're going and not getting on their nerves? But it was in that, in the walking and the eating and the praying and the getting on each other's nerves and learning to forgive each other. It was in all that, in that community, that they learned to recognize the sound of God's voice. And so, after the ascension, when Jesus had gone into heaven, the disciples had to figure out, how do we keep hearing the voice of Jesus? And they did the only thing they knew how to do. They kept up this exact same pattern. They gathered, they broke bread, they prayed, they gave generously. And in that shared life, Jesus remained present with them, and they recognized his voice. They started to hear the voice of Jesus echoed in the voices of those around them. For 2,000 years, that is what church has been, a people learning to recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd by doing what the disciples have always done, coming to worship, living in fellowship, giving generously, coming to this altar, breaking the bread, sharing the cup, not because we think it earns us anything, but that's because it's the way that we train our hearts to recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. For just a moment, I want us to return to where we started this sermon. I want us to go back to this game for a minute, recognizing movie lines. But instead of telling me who said this line, I want you to tell me who this line was spoken to. This is a little harder. At 8 o'clock, only about 10% of the people got these, so pay attention. Let's see if we can beat the 8 a.m. service. Who was Jenny shouting to when she said, run, Forrest, run? Forrest Gump. Good job. We're already beating 8 o'clock. Who was Rose speaking to amidst the icebergs when she said, I'll never let go, I'll never let go? Jack from Titanic. As the music swells and he walks out the plantation door, who was Rhett Butler speaking to when he says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn? Scarlett O'Hara. Now, who was this profound line spoken to? I have called you by name, and you are mine. It was spoken to us. Us. What about this line? You are the light of the world. Us. It was spoken to us. Who was this spoken to? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Us. These should be obvious. What about this one? You are God's beloved. Us. Friends, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So take time this week to practice hearing what God is saying to us, to practice hearing what God is saying to each of you. Amen.